Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to this Tuesday edition of our broadcast here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's great to have you with us. Today, Derek is going to touch on a theme which in his life, I believe, laid a foundation for some of the marvelous things that have come in the body of Christ down through the decades. Derek's going to talk to us about worship as a weapon of spiritual warfare. Now, he was way ahead of his time on this. I mean, now we have worship seminars and spiritual warfare seminars, and we have lots of worship events that are targeted on the demonic control of our cities and our nations. But Derek, I think, really broke this in a way in the body of Christ that was new and pioneering, and I think he really contributed something as a father to the great renewal movement that's been happening in our country. So today, we focus on worship as a weapon of warfare, and if you know that there's an area of your life or your family's life, your church's life, your city's life that needs a breakthrough, listen carefully to what Derek Prince is about to teach us.
Today I'm going to take this concept of praise one step further. I'm going to speak about praise as a weapon of spiritual warfare. I use the phrase one step further to bring out an important difference. When we use the word deliverance, our posture is essentially defensive. We need help to get us out of something. But when we use the word weapon, our posture is more aggressive. We are thinking in terms of attacking an enemy. The objective that we have in mind is not merely deliverance, it is victory. It is from this positive, aggressive point of view that I'm going to approach the theme of praise in my talk today. Of course, the use of the word weapon in connection with praise presupposes a war. It presupposes that as Christians, we are involved in a war. And this is indeed the truth. It's made plain in many different passages of Scripture. We don't really have a choice about this as Christians. If we are Christians, we're involved in the war. So we better know what the war is about and the weapons that God has provided us. Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, where he's writing to Christians, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Notice the word armor again reinforces the picture of war. Then in the next verse, verse 12, Paul tells us the kind of forces that are pitted against us in this war. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." One of the other translations says, "persons with bodies." We are not fighting persons with bodies. It's not a natural warfare against flesh and blood. Whom are we fighting then? Paul goes on, "against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." One of the provisions that God has made for us in this warfare is the weapon of praise. What does praise do for us in this war? Let's look at a passage in Psalm 8, verse 2. The psalmist David says this, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou, O Lord, ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." We see there here that it's speaking of God's enemies and provision that God has made for us to deal with these enemies. And in particular, the psalmist speaks of one specific enemy, the enemy and the avenger. That, I believe, is Satan. So here is a provision of God, strength that God has provided for us to deal with our enemy, Satan, and with that whole evil spiritual kingdom that's opposed to us. But what is the strength? This is one of those places where Scripture comments on itself. For in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 and 16, Jesus himself quotes this verse from Psalm 8, 2, but he just changes one or two words. The scene is Jesus in the temple, teaching, performing miracles, the children running to and fro, excited, crying Hosanna to the Son of David, the religious leaders protesting and asking Jesus to silence the children. Here's what Jesus says, But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast perfected praise for thyself?'" You see, Jesus was quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. But where the psalmist said, "Thou hast ordained strength," Jesus said, "Thou hast perfected or prepared praise." What does that tell us? Something vitally important, that the strength which God has ordained for his people is perfect praise. And when perfect praise comes out of our lips, we silence our adversary, the devil. There are some points to notice there that are very significant. First of all, the religious leaders were upset by this praise. I'm afraid that's sometimes true today. Some people in churches don't understand the importance of loudly and vocally and continuously praising God. It upsets them. Then Jesus spoke about babes. Babes, I understand, to mean those who depend least on natural strength or reason. At one point, Jesus spoke of his own disciples as babes. He said to the Father, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." So babes are those who depend least on natural strength or reason. And notice that this is all related to God's adversaries, and that the result of this perfect praise is to silence the enemy and the avenger. So we see that praise is a weapon that we can use against Satan and his kingdom, a weapon to silence Satan. I've said that praise is a weapon that God has given us to silence Satan. You might ask, why do we need to silence Satan? Let me give you a simple answer, which is taken from Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. In this verse, Satan is described as the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night. It's angels who are speaking, and when the angels speak of our brothers, they mean us, who are believers on earth. So we learn from that verse that Satan is continually accusing us, who are believers in Jesus, in the heavens. Day and night, he's accusing us before God. Why does Satan accuse us? What is his objective? It's very obvious. Satan wants to prove us guilty. Remember that guilt is Satan's main weapon against us. As long as he can keep us feeling guilty, we are no match for him. Well, then you might say, well, why doesn't God silence Satan? I'll tell you one very good practical reason. God isn't going to silence Satan, because he's given us the means to silence Satan, and God is waiting for us to use those means. What are they? Perfect praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength or perfected praise that he might silence the enemy and the avenger. Isn't that good news? That when we learn to praise God aright, we can silence Satan.
You know, one of the things I love about what Derek is teaching is the militancy of it. I believe that the Bible describes a church that is on the move, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. It means there's a church mobilized, a church radical, a church militant, rather than a church defensive. And when we understand worship as a weapon of warfare, then we begin to understand the kind of warfare we're supposed to be engaged in. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm so glad you've chosen to join us on this day of all days, because Derek Prince is talking about worship as a weapon of spiritual warfare. And he's about to get very, very practical about the whens and the hows and the whos of how we worship and how often we ought to worship and all of those things. This is going to be transforming. Let's listen.
I'm going to be answering certain specific questions about praise. When should we praise God? How should we praise God? And who should praise God? Let's begin with the question, when should we praise God? In Psalm 145, verse 2, David says this to the Lord, "Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Every day leaves out no days. How long is that to continue? Forever and ever. In other words, there can never be a day or a time when we should not be praising the Lord. And then I'd like to read also the words of David in Psalm 34, verse 1. First of all, I want to point out the special title to this psalm. It's described as a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. At this time, David was a fugitive from his own land. He had been unjustly accused by King Saul, who was trying to catch him and put him to death. In desperation, he'd had to flee to the court of a Gentile king, Abimelech, who was by no means a friend of David's people Israel. In order to protect and preserve his life, in the court of Abimelech, we read that David feigned to be mad. He slobbered on his beard and he scrabbled on the doors with his fingernails. And eventually, Abimelech was so tired of this apparent lunatic that he drove him out of his court. Now, that's the situation in which David wrote these words. I want you to listen to the words. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." What a victory. Right there in that desperate situation, with the humiliation of having to pretend to be mad in order to save his life, David comes out with this glorious declaration of praise. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." How many of us would have felt like praising the Lord in such a situation? Of course, it isn't a matter of feeling. It's a matter of a decision. Remember, praise is a sacrifice. It comes from the will, not from the emotions, not from the circumstances. It's a decision. And you see, David had made that decision in advance. He was already decided what he would do. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So that's when we should praise the Lord. Every day, forever and ever. At all times, continually. The second question, how should we praise the Lord? Psalm 111, verse 1 says this, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly." So that's how we should praise the Lord, with all our heart. I believe God is grieved when we offer him faint, half-hearted praises, our mind on something else, ashamed perhaps of what people might think if we really expressed our real feelings and our real love and devotion to the Lord. But the scripture says we're to praise the Lord with all our heart. And then in Psalm 47, verse 7, I'll read two versions. First, the King James. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." But the New American Standard says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm." So we're to praise the Lord with understanding or with skill. In other words, we're to give our mind and our ability to praising the Lord. And then in Psalm 63, verses 4 and 5, David says this, "So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips." Notice what David says there about the various ways that he's going to praise the Lord. He'll praise the Lord with uplifted hands. He'll praise the Lord with his mouth. He'll praise the Lord with his lips. And then in Psalm 150 and verse 4, praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. There's a lot there about praising the Lord. Three kinds of musical instruments are specifically mentioned: the timbrel, stringed instruments, and the pipe. And these are three different classes of instruments. The timbrel was a percussion instrument. The stringed instruments, of course, were strings. And the pipe was a wind instrument. So we're specifically told the Lord to praise the Lord with all those three kinds of musical instruments: percussion, strings, and wind. And also it says with dancing. And dancing, of course, involves the feet, and in fact, the whole body. Hands, arms, legs, feet, every part of the body. So let's sum up. How are we to praise the Lord? Here's a list. With our heart, with our understanding, with our mouth, with our lips, with our hands, with our feet, with our whole body, and with various kinds of musical instruments.
You know, Derek is emphasizing something we must cling to, and that is that worship and praise and thanksgiving is not based on our feelings. It's not based on how we, if we're feeling holy at the moment. It's a sacrifice. It's something we do as a discipline. It's something we do because it's commanded. It's something we do because it's powerful. It's something we do because it is what we were made for. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with us today. Derek is teaching us on thanksgiving, praise, and worship specifically as acts of spiritual warfare. And what you're about to hear is going to cause you to realize that you are part of a great chorus of worship that's arising to God from all throughout the creation, that's yearning for God, that's destroying the devil's works, that's trying to accomplish what it was made for. Let's listen as we learn about worship as warfare.
Now I'll turn to the third question. Who should praise the Lord? Let me read to you from Psalm 148, verses 2 through 4, and then verses 7 through 12. The first three verses deal with creatures on the heavenly realm. The remaining verses that I'm going to read deal with creatures on the earthly realm. First of all, let's look at who should praise the Lord in the heavenly realm. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. That's the list of those who should praise the Lord on the heavenly realm. Now let's come down to the earthly realm and see who is actually exhorted and called upon to praise the Lord here on earth. Beginning in verse 7 through verse 12. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let's go through that list. It's rich. It's exciting. Who are called upon to praise the Lord from heaven? Verse 2, angels, hosts. Verse 3, sun and moon and stars. Verse 4, the highest heavens and the waters above the heavens. Who are called to praise the Lord from the earth? Verse 7, sea monsters in deeps. I always loved the thought of the sea monsters praising the Lord and the deeps. Verse 8, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind. Isn't it good that even the stormy wind praises the Lord and fulfills his word? Next time you're in a stormy wind, remember that. Verse 9, mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars. Verse 10, beasts and cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Verse 11, kings and peoples, princes and judges. Verse 12, young men and virgins, old men and children. I added up that list. You know how many different kinds of creatures are specifically called upon to praise the Lord? 30 different kinds of God's creatures. Suppose you might think, though, that you're not included in that list. I don't really see how you could be left out. But suppose you felt left out, let me offer you this word. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you see, if you have breath, you have to praise the Lord. In fact, that's what your breath was given you for. You remember that I told you your tongue is your glory. It's put in your mouth to glorify God. And your breath is given you to enable your tongue to praise the Lord. Just one final question, and an important one. We've said, who is to praise the Lord? Let's ask, who does not praise the Lord? There's an answer given. Psalm 115, verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. That's the only kind of persons in the universe who do not praise the Lord, the dead. And frankly, let me say to you, dear friend, if you don't praise the Lord, that's a sign of spiritual death. The church or the group that doesn't praise the Lord aloud, vocally, joyfully, continually, it's a sure mark of spiritual death. Rigor mortis has set in when people cease to praise the Lord.
You know, this is such transforming, vital teaching that I want to challenge you right now to incorporate it in your life. If you don't have anywhere you have to be in the next 30 minutes once this broadcast is over today, I want to urge you to get a song, get your guitar, get on the piano, or just sing out for the next half an hour. Take some time to worship the Lord. And as you do, worship Him with your mind and your heart, perhaps focused on an area that you know deliverance is needed. Maybe you have a child who's being demonically assaulted. Maybe there's an area of bondage in your home. Maybe there's something going on somewhere in your life. Maybe you know that you're being drawn into some specific areas of temptation. I want to urge you to worship the Lord. And as you do, understand that He is inhabiting your praise, that He's moving out against your enemies, that He's moving out against the enemies of your soul, the enemies of your home, the enemies of your calling, the enemies of your nation, and that this is a vital thing. The Lord will arise. He will set ambushes against the enemy, and the chains of whatever is binding you will be broken. But you have to put the word in action. As James said in his book in the New Testament, we cannot simply look into the Word of God, see a reflection of what we ought to look like as though in a mirror, and then go away forgetting it. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.